El Camino People, The Podcast, Episode 1. Ultrella, fellow pilgrims, and welcome to El Camino People, The Podcast. I am José María Aznar, pilgrim, entrepreneur, pamplónica, and Camino lover. From today on, we will share Camino news and stories from pilgrims all over the world. Pilgrims like just like you, because Camino stories need to be told. Wanna walk with us? Here today we have Mark and John from Road to Muxia. Welcome, guys.
Yes, thank you very much. How are you doing this morning? Thank you.
Yeah, morning for you. Yeah, evening for me.
Yeah. You're 6 hours ahead. So, yeah, thank you.
This is the beauty. The Camino never sleeps. So, we have today with us two guys that, for me, you know, this has been a long year with El Camino people, but it feels like I met Mark for all my life, and we've been working for so long, but we've never seen each other in real life. It's one of those things, you know, that when we talk about the Camino and the friendships that you made, sometimes you don't even need to make those friendships during the Camino. So right. Mark here is running a great project. We hear a lot nowadays about movies about the Camino, you know, books and everything. But I think it was probably about more than a year ago, no, Mark? That we first met and start talking.
Yes,
And I got captured by Mark's story. First of all, because the whole name of the project was Road to Muxia. And my Camino experience, you know, when I felt more vulnerable, more complete, was in Muxia. And since that day, I don't know, it feels like we have some kind of connection. Do you want to know, tell the people, you know, Mark, a little bit about why the naming, why the whole Road to Muxia, where this, you know, became a movie and when it became Road for Muxia?
Yeah. And, you know, you could call any story that anybody goes through, especially on the Camino Santiago, it ends up being a layered process. And the reason I had chosen that name is primarily because of events that had occurred when I was in Santiago, that pretty much set it into place is this is what this movie needs to be about. First of all, jumping forward, when I got, you know, past of how I even got to the Camino, when I got to Santiago, I know that, you know, Facebook and everything that you have out there does have people that are full of joy and people that are happy when they reach Santiago. I did take a few pictures smiling with friends, but there was an incompleteness that I felt when I got there. And, you know, John was able to catch me at that moment, on how I felt. And, it was just a very empty, feeling. I felt like that moment that you're supposed to have so much joy just didn't exist. And I even went in to speak with one of the priests inside the cathedral. And, what he had said to me was, with what you're going through, you need to go on. I was carrying my dad's ashes. He says, you need to go to Muxia and you need to take that time. And so I did. And between the time I left Santiago and by the time I let my father's ashes go, I went through the things that the priest, I guess, knew that I was going to go through. It is. And, you know, it hurts. It's painful. It's decisions that you have to make. But where others may have gone through the process and they've gotten to Santiago and they're there and they feel good about the next steps, I was still pretty much in ways incomplete and broken. And that final walk and the letting of the ashes go and those things that I went through pretty much set into place how I was going to be moving forward with my life.
Great. Sorry, guys, this is the first El Camino People podcast, so yeah. I forgot to introduce Mark and John to both of you. So, Mark, can you please introduce John to all of us, and then, please, John, can you introduce Mark?
Okay, super, yes. This is my cousin, nephew in Bolivian culture. Jonathan Fernandez, full name, Ariel Jonathan Fernandez Arias. And he is a filmmaker.
And he's the other side of the Road to Muxia, the guy
the
behind the Lem.
Yes,
yeah,
absolutely.
And he's Mark Pareto, Mark Joseph Pareto,
yes.
Sandoval.
Sandoval.
So yeah, that's how you would spell it here, or you would say it here. So yeah, he's I would say he's a caminante. Maybe you would get that. So I think he got in love of the Camino. I mean, he loves the Camino. And I think that what the Camino is doing with his life is relevant. So I think this journey, it didn't reach the end yet, because he is still processing some stuff inside. And I think this is going to be what is going to show in the movie or in the film, in the documentary film, because the name, and maybe this is the first time I'm going to talk about the name. While you guys were talking, I was thinking the name Road to Muxia, in a certain way for me, it's kind of an excuse, because maybe this is not just Road to Muxia, this is Road to forgiveness, Road to hope, Road to peace, Road to, I don't know where you want to get. But I think that's something interesting that I'm just thinking. So I just said it. I'm sorry. I know I went to.
No, that's amazing. And I agree. You know, a lot of people ask, you know, we are all day, you know, Camino lovers, is like, where does the Camino start? Where does the Camino ends? And I think this is really a start. And it's not when you start walking in San Jean, Pamplona's, when you decide to make this step. But I think, you know, in life and in El Camino, as you say, there is no end. And for Road to Muxia, I think, you know, one day when we see the movie out there, it's going to be, you know, a checkpoint. But I don't think for Mark that's the end, and for any of us. And I truly believe that is something that has a lot to say to a lot of people. So, guys, Road to Muxia stars, where did it begin? How was where was it born?
Yeah, how did it begin? It began a day on April 15th. It's April 7th, 2015. And I was hit in an auto accident. There's a young man who had a seizure, and he didn't know he had epilepsy. It wasn't regular epilepsy. It was done by malformation of vessels, blood vessels in his brain. And it hit that day. And he was driving home from work. I was driving home from work, probably both going about 100 kilometers an hour on both sides of the highway. And he crossed the highway, driving north in a southbound direction. And a truck tried to divert him back in, a pickup truck tried to divert him back into the middle and impacted him. He went to the shoulder. I came in behind the truck, went in, and we both hit nose to nose. We're both lucky that we survived. It was never his fault. It was a condition that he didn't even know that he had. And following that, within about 90 days after that, my father passed away. And when I was with my dad, he had gone through a process of trying to forgive that, you know, I think in his heart, in the end, he did. But in his process, he was trying to forgive his own father for abandoning him and his family when they were young. And, you know, I think the thing that hit me the most was he had a manifestation of my grandmother and then of my grandfather. And when he had this manifestation of my grandfather, he says, "What are you doing here? You left us. I don't love you. I don't need you. Leave. Go away." And that was very hard because we had the priest come and give the last rites, and you try to do everything for somebody. And he and I planned on doing the Camino after I had healed from the accident, but that ended when, you know, he knew he had cancer. So, you know, it was my intent after that to say, we're still going to finish this together. We're still going to walk this together. And so he did walk with me, and I carried him. I carried his ashes.
That's amazing.
And when I came down to South America to bring my mother down here, she is retired down here in Bolivia. you know, I ran into John. We had met at kind of like a family gathering, a family reunion to get together. Not an official reunion, but just family getting together for, for a Sunday afternoon. And he and I began to talk, and I learned more about him. He's married to my niece. And I was, you know, I needed to find some type of a reason behind everything going on in my life at the time. And I said, are you interested in going and doing this with me? And after some pondering, after some talking with Carol, he said, yeah, yeah, let's do this. And so we gathered the funds together to be able to do it for the first time. And so with him, a friend of his, Alberto, and myself, we started out from Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port, not knowing what the script was. You know, he's very used to scripts. He's worked with documentaries and movies, and he's like, so what's this about? And I'm like, I don't know. Just turn the camera on, and something will reveal itself on the other side. I didn't know. And so, you know, he had his ideas. I didn't know what the idea was. I just know that I was still really raw, still really hurting, and was going through a process all the way through that walk. And I think finally what we did find and encounter, at least for me personally, and then we did get them on film with interviews, was people that were going through the same thing that I was when it came to either their children being sick, their daughter passing away and carrying their ashes, a man carrying his wife's ashes, a woman carrying his mother's ashes. She was just getting ready for retirement. Her mother just died. So everybody that was doing the communal for themselves, but they were also doing it in a devotional way to somebody that they loved or somebody that they were trying to even work through, you know, the relationship with.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the beauty of the Camino, you know. No matter what we do, all of us, we carry a backpack, in a way. And I always carry the backpack because, you know, the pilgrims, they always carry something. And a lot of people think and believe that this new tradition of carrying ashes is something new. But I know that you have done some research about it, that this is not something that's coming out from the movie The Way. Can you tell us a little more about that?
Yeah, I actually called the Compostela office because, you know, I just, for myself, I wanted to find out, you know, and, it, you know, they always measure, you know, did you do it for religious purposes? Did you do it for somebody else? And what they found is when they do it for somebody else, and you can even get your Compostela written in the name of somebody that you love or somebody that you've done it for, is I asked them, I said, how long have people really been walking with ashes? Because art imitates or reflects life. So the movie did have a man carrying his son's ashes. However, what I was told by them was that this has been going on, you know, ever since the beginning. The artifacts, the mementos, the ashes, all of these things have been done for centuries. And that I'm nothing new. You know, this is something, this, you know, I'm going through the same process as many other pilgrims throughout the centuries in that walk.
But that's the beauty, you know, the Camino is not about doing something new, it's just about that, walking and walking for you, for someone else, or for, you know, whatever reasons you have, the Camino will provide, as we say. And a lot of people will ask, and I myself, you know, having done the Camino a couple of times, it's like, how can you separate from the camera? You know, when you're going through your own process, how, you know, your family, you joined, you are recording on one side, you have to walk, you have to still do your own Camino, but then on the other side, you have to be there to get those mementos, and you don't know where they're going to happen, because I didn't know, you know, sometimes you're happy, sometimes you cry, sometimes you don't even know where you are, but that's coming. How that whole, you know, day by day goes when you are trying to do your project like this.
Yes, and just first of all, apologies.
That's not the police.
That's been bumped or something. No, it stopped, but we had a car going off. I'm going to give a little bit of my side in the process that I wanted to go through, and then I'm sure John has a lot to say about his experience with my side. I had, you know, the Camino, when it comes to people who film and direct, ends up becoming like a little bit of a small family. Nobody's trying to one-up the other person's movie or documentary, and everybody shares. I'm willing to talk with people about my experiences if it helps them, if they're making a creative piece. You know, I think that this is it comes back to the Camino provides, you know. And you want to help. So I spoke with a couple of the directors of past documentaries. In fact, one of them gave me the name of one of their participants. His name was Phil, from Phil's Camino, done by Annie. And, you know, I just had a really heart-to-heart about what I was going through. He was going through cancer. And he said, you need your time alone. you really need your time alone. And it's going to be a little bit hard for the camera people because they don't see what you're going through. But it's the only way to show some form of a transition through the process that's fresh for the eyes of the camera, and puts, you know, the people that are filming in a position to where they have to really dig and figure out what's going on. So I knew I needed that time alone, especially with what I was going through. So John and Alberto would take give me my 3 or 4 days space, and they would jump, and they would go take B-roll and things that we will be using in the film. And then they would come back in and do interviews with me. And so the hard thing about that, though, is sometimes when you jump, some of the most amazing experiences happen when they had to jump and I would go through. And maybe that's the way it's supposed to be. You know, the Camino is for a person's own development. And this is, you know, this was what I was not told to do, but advised to do. And I did it. And for me and my processes, it was good. But sometimes you just kind of go, I wish I had it on camera. You know, I have some of it on GoPro, but nothing really nice like John had. So you'll see some GoPro too, which is nice because it's a documentary, and documentaries are forgiving because it's real life, whether it's a phone, a GoPro, or anything like that.
Yeah.
So this is what I went through.
Yeah. First of all, when you go there as a filmmaker, you want to get the best scenes, the best footage possible, the best shots. Sometimes you cannot do it because you are not with him in this case. You know, it was, I had an idea and I told her, look, we're going to record this at the beginning and then we're going to go in this process and we're going to start recording this other kind of shots and you're going to. So I had something clear in my mind talking about footage, let's say. Maybe it was not that clear about story, but you said something before. It's nothing new, but of course it is new for you when you are there for the first time. So of course it's going to be new, but you're not doing anything new there, but it is new for you. So like you said, I didn't know the place. I didn't know people. I didn't know weather. So we were like, sometimes we were damn cold. We were not ready for that kind of cold that I don't know here in South America. You get it? I mean, it's another kind of cold, it's, or whatever. So it's really different. And when you are ready to record something, but you don't have the, in this case, the main character that is him, because we are telling his story, and you don't have him around because he needs these moments to heal, to forgive, or think, or leave another stuff there. It's really hard. Sometimes I was really concerned about this because I told him once we got in a fight because, hey man, he starts with, oh, you were not there. But of course I was not there. You were alone. So what am I going to do? I want to do this or I want to do this and you are not around. But after this small fights, little fights, it was something like, it was okay because I realized he needed that. So after that, he was gonna tell us, I don't know, with an interview or something, he was gonna let us know what he was going through. So that's really interesting. And of course, the process, it was really, I wouldn't say kind of funny, but since you are there doing your job, like you said, I had to record, or somebody had to record in a certain moment. I said, no, I'm going to record this because this is something, it is in my mind, so I have to do it by my own. But you still have to walk, and you have to struggle with your body, with your, I don't know, blisters and whatever. I mean, you have to leave or suffer what everybody else is suffering there or living there, so you cannot be a part. So you share with people. We made good friends with this group. He was walking, so until now we're still talking or chatting in the WhatsApp or Facebook or whatever. It's really interesting. You have an idea when you think about going there, but when you are there, of course, it's different. And this is something is going to be shown in the film. So I think this is real. That's what he was talking before. I feel this is, it's real and it's authentic. And it's really interesting to tell everybody.
That's really cool, because now that you're mentioning, you know, there is three Muxia's movies, let's say. One, the one that Mark did by himself in his alone time. The one that we all will see hopefully soon. One, the one that you leave behind the lens. But I guess that there should be another movie, the one made about the guy behind the lens, because at the end you also leave a camino that is probably so different than anyone else. I'm like, you were talking about highs, lows. What were the highs for you, the lows for you? How was it feel, you know, when you're doing your camino with somebody else's camino too, but at the same time you are on your own process? Because I guess as you walk, you probably, at the beginning you were like, okay, I'm the filmmaker, I'm not here. But I bet that one day you were like, okay, what the heck is going on? What is going on in my mind? What is this happening? Because it happens to everyone. So if you can tell us a little more about that.
Yeah, and I know John has a couple stories too, but I'll tell you one of them. And I think it has to do with, I want to call it like age, pride, and not caring what people know. All right, because what you'll find is the ones that were really most open to the camera and their processes of, like, for example, and I've used her name and I'll use it again, it's Merle Redwing. She is in the documentary. I walked with her for about a day, and we did have an interview with her. And Merle was going through a number of struggles that we were able to even get within an interview. But it was that time that I spent with her, talking with her also, on kind of like the off-camera time when John was behind me or Alberto was behind me, that we had a chance to just really connect on some of the things that she was dealing with her mom, and some of the things that I was dealing with my dad, but also outside the world of that influence as well back home. You know, it's we all have our stories. And I think that the thing that was most beautiful for me are the people who really just really opened up about what they were going through. And then when it came to something else that was very important for me was everybody talks about it. In fact, one of the guys in the group was teasing me about it that I met. But you go through a process to where they say the Camino is divided into going for your body, your mind, and then your spirit. So you go through your body. You're doing 10 days of going through the Pyrenees and up and down hills, and you're getting walking legs. And then after that, you may meet a few people that you walk with for a couple of days, but they're not that tight fit group that somehow you meet. And then you go through the Meseta, and that ends up being the spin in the mind, you know, that you want to jump out of trying to figure things out. But sometimes when you're trying to figure things out, that's because of your own fears and many times and trying to do that, at least for me. And then in the end, after you go through that process, if you're able to get past that, you're able to connect with other people that have gone through that too. And it just happens, you know. So there's actually two people that within the first week ended up being the people at the end that I was walking with, which was a third and then a fourth. And so you had Martin, you had Edith, you had Aaron, and then you had Kim. And for Martin and Aaron, I met them prior and then hadn't seen them for a couple weeks. And then lo and behold, you know, I meet them in an albergue, and we end up eventually walking together. And then we have this one Camino sister. And then you're going through the whole process of, you know, working through as a family. And it's a great process. But those are the things that uplifted me most was having that family. And then what's even worse out of that, though, is having to say goodbye. But you're connected, thank God, through the internet and these types of new medias that allow you to do this type of thing. You know, so I'm still in connection with them after 3 years today.
Great. And John, what was the moment that you remember? Was there any point of the Camino that you were like super, you know, I'm like, this is amazing? Were there any lows on your side, not in the movie side?
I think it was one day. I remember it was raining cats and dogs, and we had to keep on going. And we decided to get separated that time. I mean, you go ahead or I'll go ahead, or we're going to send Beto, it was the cameraman, we're going to send him in a cab or whatever, because we're not going to be able to record. Well, it's raining so much. So it was something really special that day, I think, because I started walking alone and with no camera, no equipment, no Beto by my side, no Mark with me. And I just started walking. I didn't even have a backpack, because normally you carry your backpack, and that's something relevant in your walking. When you don't have your backpack, it is like you feel like empty. Something is missing, right? I mean, it's like, what am I doing without my backpack? But I was just me, right? And I walked for like, I don't know, maybe 6 hours. And it was the only moment I had to think about myself. And of course, it was related with his story in this case, because in that time, my daddy was alive and he was struggling with cancer also. And it was something like, man, I have to tell this story that is about him, but what about myself? And that's the moment when I start wondering what about my dad and if he's gonna make it or not. I mean, he'll live like, I don't know, 2 more years or maybe 2.5 more years. And that moment, it was really hard for me, and it was really deep. And that made me think about these other relationships with people that is walking. Because when you know somebody there, it is like at the beginning is, hey, how are you? Fine, you're walking. Yeah, blisters. Okay, bye, bye, bye. But then maybe the next time you're not gonna talk about your blisters. You're gonna talk about, and why are you here? And that was we were trying to do, and I was trying to get this information, not just as a filmmaker, but as a person. You get it?
Yeah.
And it's like, and what about this? And the talk is gonna get deeper and deeper every time you see these other people. Maybe you are not gonna be with the camera. Maybe you will, but I realized that. Next time it was going to be like, why are you walking? Oh, this and something else. The third time or the fourth, I don't know. So we crossed with a lot of people there many times. So after a certain time, the chat, it was deeper and interesting and really touching and moving inside, because you realize it was, I don't know, maybe some body from their family passing away or struggling with something like maybe you are struggling also, or maybe you could understand in a certain level. But it's really interesting. I mean, that moment for me, it was really, really hard, and it was really deep what it was going on with everybody around. So it was really, really nice.
Yeah, let's switch gears to more fun stuff, because I guess probably you have like a ton of fun stories, like probably so many crazy, you know, you didn't put the battery, Mark was yelling at you, Mark would do something, you were yelling at Mark, or people would get right in the middle of a scene, or I don't know, somebody pooping in the middle of the Camino. Tell us something, what was the weirdest, the funniest thing that happens to you guys?
Oh my gosh. You know, you're going to catch us on surprise. We should have been cued for that one. We have to think hard. It was a struggle.
This is not great, but this is live.
I think that if you were to take a look at the whole dynamics of this trip, it was a little interesting, because, you know, we had one of our cameramen, Beto. He had this addiction to, what was it? Was it Cass? What was it, the drink that they have over there?
Oh,
like
Gus,
every time,
orange soda
that you have there, Gus. And so every time that he would walk in, he's like going, I got to get some of these. Or he goes,
ham.
Ham. He's like, come on, all the time. I'm like, come on. Look, there's a come on. I'm like, we got to keep going. He's like, no, let's stop. You know what I'm
please,
like,
please,
come on, por favor. We're like, no, better. We got to keep going. To him, it's like part of it, he did a lot of hard work, and he carried a lot of gear. But I think the Camino Santiago was probably a gastronomical event for him all the way through. He just really enjoyed himself all the way through. We made sure he was taken care of as best as we could. But man, it's like, come on, dude, we got to keep going here. You know, we got a schedule.
Hey, so, remember, we're in Spain. We eat every hour. There is 7 meals, and so that's Camino. So tell us a little more, or now, where are you guys? Which point is the Road to Muxia film? What is going on next? What are we going to see soon?
What you're going to see soon, and what's going to be going on, which is really exciting, is we've gotten a bulk of the filming completed, but there is still some filming that needs to be done, and so we also need to go into post editing, because it's our goal to, and it's a goal to be able to deliver this at least in streaming in late November, or at least early December before Christmas begins. You know, so late November is our goal. And we're going to be going into a Kickstarter campaign, and it's going to be for $83,500. And that $83,500 is going to be covering getting a solid editor, that can move a lot quicker and get things done than we could, because we're so involved in it. Sometimes you need to get somebody from the outside with fresh eyes that can help in the process. Then there's colorization, sound. Everything that's involved with post production to be able to deliver a film. The 83.5 also goes into travel. We're going to be doing some interviews here in Bolivia with some family members as well that add to a component of what this walk was, and what one of the things that the documentary covers is what is called, you know, different people talk about generational traumas, generational experiences and wounds. And one of the people involved in this documentary that gives commentary is a gentleman by the name of Father Philip Scott. He is the founder of Family of Jesus out of Peru. And he is somebody that I've known for around 20 years. And, you know, it has been through some of the talks that I've had with him that I'm saying, you know what, we need to bring this to the public too, because obviously people are there in the Camino walking, you know. And what you're dealing with is you're dealing with people that may be suffering from things that happened in the past, or things that have happened to them through the interactions in their lives. But all these interactions stem back to how you react to things and how you deal with things and how you process things. And part of that is some of that history that you have within you. I have learned that it's not all of it, but it is part of it. And some of that history is his commentary allows that to be brought to light, because I want this movie to be able not only to just show the Camino again, show how beautiful it is for people who walk it, but that this really, you know, goes deep enough to make people think. So we have a Bodegate people giving their opinions of people walking. We have a priest talking about how, since it is, you know, a road after the generations and years has been established by the church as a way of pilgrimage and progress for yourself internally. All these different aspects that are opinions within the Camino help bring things together to create an ending that I think will be very relevant as far as what this movie is supposed to deliver, which is how you work through loss, death, suffering, changes in your lives, and how that actually can be trajected towards hope, love, and forgiveness, which we all work through. And that is, it's not a Catholic film. It is not a religious film. It is a spiritual journey. And it's mine. And then you see the experiences of people being interviewed that are others that may not have a Catholic affiliation, but have their own spiritual journeys that they're going through too.
Mm-hmm. And I agree. You know, a lot of people say, what is the Camino a religious thing? Is the Camino a sport? And I truly believe that if you do the whole Camino, no matter what you think at the beginning, at the end, it becomes much more than just walk. There's no way you can walk with yourself for 30 days. Call it religious, call it spiritual, but if you walk all the way from San Juan de Pidepor or any way far to Santiago to Muxia, you're going to be doing much more than just walk. So anyway, guys,
Right. Thank
you so much.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you. So anyway, we are going to be launching, and we're excited about it. And we can't wait for everybody to go to our page. And thank you so much. I appreciate
it.
Yeah.
Tell us the page. What where do we want to go? Where can we see?
It is kickstarter.com/MarkJoseph/road-2-Muxia. Mushia. Everything is going to be like...
I love that. SEO. Don't worry, guys. It will be on our Instagram. It will be on our website. It will be on Facebook. We're going to make sure that's going to be everywhere. Because, you know, some of you may not believe, but Mark also is a big part of El Camino people. You know, as Road to Muxia has been developed, the El Camino people has been developed, and I have to say thanks for Mark, because he's been there for us. Well, for me, I always talk about us, but yeah, I, you know, just tell us, both of you, you know, if you have to send one message to all those peoples, and you know that El Camino people is all about, because some stories need to be told. Yours really has to be told. I do believe in that one. But
yes,
what would you tell to the people that is just there, you know, at their houses, listening to us and waiting to do the step forward? You know, some people think that Camino is religious. Some people, they think that is dangerous. Some people, they need that kick, no? So as we were talking about the kickstart, what will be the kickstart that you will send, you know, anyone over the world just to go ahead and try?
Yes, I think from my own personal experiences is that when you do go, make sure, and first and foremost, that you're going for yourself, and that you're going there to go and work through your own processes. And at the same time, know that when you go through this process, that the Camino is designed, especially the Camino Francés, is designed for people anywhere from, I actually met a young woman at the age of 17 walking it. And then there was a gentleman that I met who was 85 years old, that there is help and there's a support system, that you are there to walk, you can go through your process, but there's always somebody there to help if something is, if a mishap happens or you have to stop going on. It's a beautiful, safe place to go and go through your processes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And if you are going looking for something, you don't know what's that something you're looking for, you just go. But go waiting for nothing. So what you're going to get is so much and so big that, of course, you're going to see a change in yourself, and not just in your mind or in your body, because you're going to struggle a lot. So have that in mind. Be prepared. But, yeah, go. I mean, go expecting nothing, because you're going to get a lot from the Camino for yourself.
Yeah. So, in another interview, he had said, and it's so poignant, is that you think you may be going for one thing, but what is revealed on the other side ends up being something completely different. And I think that is the one special thing about this film that people have to wait for to understand.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Jung. And, you know, I created this project because I think that every time we listen to someone else's story about the Camino, every time we see a picture, and that's what I truly believe, you know, the Camino is, it's not about where you go, where you stay, what you eat. It's about the people that you met, the stories that they tell, and how that stories help you. Because, you know, as I was talking with you today, I went through my own Camino, and now I'm like again walking my Camino. And I think that's the beauty and what we start the interview with, you know, you will never stop walking your Camino, because there's something, always something will come out. So best of luck for you both. I hope that we cross paths again, and thank you so much, and thank you for being the number one on El Camino, the podcast. You guys are the first, and hopefully we'll see each other one day. As they say,
Absolutely.
Utrella.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Gracias.
Thank you.
Sorry. Gracias.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So you haven't done it yet, go and visit Road to Muxia film and take a look. You know, it's an amazing project, and if you can, support them, and if not, just please help us spread the word of all these amazing things that is happening in the world of El Camino de Santiago. Thank you for listening to El Camino People, the podcast. We'll see you again in 15 days. Bye bye, Ultreya.